please. And before we begin the message for today, I'd like to do a quick prayer for all of us. If you can either bow your heads or close your eyes. Heavenly Father, as I come and the congregation come before you in your presence, we ask that you help us through your word, through your message, to understand what we need to apply to our daily lives. And also, Lord, help us that you may enter into our hearts. Please forgive us of any sins, Lord, so that we may offer you this time, Lord. I pray this in your Son's beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. How's everybody doing today? I'm glad to see all of you, and I'm thankful and grateful for the privilege to be here. And before we begin our message for today, I'd like to ask, has anyone here been in a fight before? You can either raise your hand, maybe yes or no. Maybe. And it might not necessarily be a physical fight. It could be with words too. Okay, and what have you done? How did you handle that situation? So, today, we're going to read about someone that is very known. I wish Saul would have been here. That's probably one of his favorite characters from the Bible. And so today, I want to give you a little bit of background on the person I'm going to talk about. But we know that there's a lot of persons, I'm going to say, in the Bible, because there's too many of them. I can't name all of them. But Saul, or Saul, is one of those that we're going to talk about this morning. Now, before we get into the next slide, I want to tell you a little bit. This is someone that, as you all know, became a king. And you probably know him because he's the first king of Israel. Now, before he became a king, of course, the story goes, this is in 1 Samuel. If you want to look it up, we don't have to read the whole chapter. But it began in 1 Samuel around chapter 10. Well, 8 through, actually, it's chapter 8, 9, 10, and we're going to be in chapter 13. Not the whole chapter, but just a few verses. Now, he started as a normal person, right? Just like you and me. He didn't know that one day he would be a king. Now, I want to go back to a little bit on the story that how he became to be a king. Now, before he became a king, he was this young person. The Bible describes him, and I'm pretty sure the ladies don't like that idea. He stood tall above everyone else, and he said he was handsome, kind of like they describe David as well. Now, they used to have a king. The Israelites had a king. They still do. But that king, which is the greatest king that we can ever have, there's no one like him. It's God. Now, they were in a fight with of course, other nations. And Israel wanted a king such as other nations. So what they did was they despised, in other words, rejected God. So it's very interesting that we want to do like the rest. So I think about how God would have felt being rejected. I don't know about you, but about being rejected, but who can reject God? Who can reject God? A lot of us do. But I'm going to continue, but I'm going to also let you know that when the prophet Samuel, I kind of be getting those confused, Samuel and Saul, but I think I got it now. Samuel. Now, we all know that he was a prophet. He was also a judge. So he's the one that was appointed so that he can anoint King Saul. And one of the something about the story about Samuel is that he had, as I read, was two sons. As I do have two sons. But both of them did not walk according to, you know, the example that they had from his dad. And we see this a lot nowadays too. Okay. So these two young men were corrupt. They took bribes. They were not like their father. So this is the reason why Israel wanted a king too, right? Because those appointed to lead the nation were corrupt. And then they saw that they wanted to be like other nations. Okay, so we first want to emphasize that point that there was a rejection that occurred. So when it came time to Samuel anointing Saul. I'm sorry, I'm just going to keep going on the... Sorry. There we go. If you want to turn into those, into your Bible, this is basically what happened in chapter 13, as I mentioned, but I'm going to read from the back and you can follow. Okay, now in 1 Samuel 13 from verses 10 through 15, in the first section is going to be verses 10 through, which is going to go through like 13, 14. Okay, just as he finished offering the burnt offerings, Samuel arrived. So Saul went out to greet him, and Samuel asked, "What have you done?" Saul answered, "When I saw that the troops were deserting me and you didn't come within the appointed days and the Philistines were a gathering mixed match, I thought the Philistine will now descend on me at Gilgal. And I haven't sought the Lord's favor, so I forced myself to offer burnt offering." Now, in the previous chapter, I believe chapter 10, verse 8, there were some special instructions for Saul. And this is how it reads. This is the instruction from Samuel. It says, "Afterwards, go ahead of me to Gilgal, and I will go to you to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice fellowship offerings. Wait 7 days until I come to you and show you what to do." So, Samuel said to Saul, "You have been foolish. You have not kept the command which the Lord your God gave you. It was at this time that the Lord would have permanently established your reign over Israel. But now your reign will not endure. The Lord has found a man loyal to him, and the Lord has appointed him as ruler over his people, because you have not done what the Lord commanded. Then Samuel went from Gilgal to Gibeah in Benjamin. Saul registered the troops who were within about 600 men. Now, as I asked the question before, I don't know what kind of, if you have been in a fight or not, and how big it was, or if you knew your enemy. Now, this is it's a fight that the Israelites are fighting against the Philistine. But the story also goes that this army was tremendous. You couldn't count. And the people of Israel, just a few people, and some of them had deserted the king. Now, I want to take you especially to those verses. Chapter 13, verse 13. So, what happened? There were some instructions that Saul was to follow, but he didn't. So, let me make sure the screen's okay. What he should have practiced was patience, and I believe he did, up to a given point. Now, let's read the definition of what patience is, how we should respond to a situation like that. So the definition of patient is bearing pains or trials calmly or without complaint. Manifesting forbearance under provocation or strain. Not hasty or impetuous. Steadfast despite opposition. Difficulty or adversity. Now this is the definition. Now, I have a cheat sheet over here. It's going to help me. So, the way I'm acting today is a little different. I hope you can catch what I need from you. I need patience. I need for you to practice patience with me today, this morning. Now, I'm going to give you some synonyms of what patient really is. Because it's not just about waiting and not doing anything. But here's some here's another definition. It says the ability to control one's feelings in spite of misfortune or pain without complaining. So, it also means long-suffering. I'm not going to read all of them, but I'm just going to give you a few, which is translated into the Bible in this manner. Perseverance, endurance, and of course, patience and patient, the same. And why not? It also says self-control. So if you've ever been in a situation like that, maybe you haven't been in a fight with physically, but probably with words. How was your behavior? How was your attitude? Now, we can see that the king became impatient. So what happens when you become impatient? You mess up. If you don't follow the word of God, if you don't wait on the Lord, I mean, I've done it. I'm guilty of it. And to be honest, I wouldn't be here preaching to you if I didn't put this into practice. Okay? And I'm so thankful to God because even though I make mistakes, I become impatient, the Lord still uses me. And I can tell you, one of the fruits which the Vine Dictionary also describes real easy to remember. It says, patience grows only in trial. Now, if I were to ask you, who loves trials? Who loves afflictions? Who loves tribulation? But all of that is in the Bible. And it says that we must suffer as our Lord Jesus Christ did. Now, compared to what I've done, It might be different from what you've done, but I want you to know a few things. Is that you may respond in a different manner. Let's see how King Saul responded and the response from the prophet. Now, the prophet, of course, he was guided by the Holy Spirit, was guided by God. Now, Saul was to also follow because he had the Spirit of God. In prior chapters, the Spirit of the Lord came to Saul. But we know he became impatient. So here's, we're looking at Saul's response. And these are the excuses, in other words, that Saul was given. Well, you know, and those are valid excuses, right? He said, the people were leaving me. You did not come on the appointed time. It sounds like accusing. Don't we sound like that sometimes? Hey, you know, I was waiting for you at this time, and look at you. What time did you arrive? So we can actually portray our feelings, but we're out to control our feelings. He said, don't we do that too? I force myself to offer the burnt offerings. Now that wasn't something that was his duty. It wasn't his task. That was for the prophet to do. But what did he do? Well, you know, you didn't come on time, so you know I had to start. Well, now he made a mistake, as a lot of us do. He was already accusing and making the prophet seem like he was a liar. Now, we do that many times too. And you're supposed to be a Christian, you know? You shouldn't be lying. Well, it happens. You're not alone. Okay, well, so let's look at the response from the prophet. Too many. Now he called out. Now I don't know in which manner he did it. So I don't know when your friends, your family come to you and they come to you, and they, for example, they might say, Giovanni, you know, you messed up on this area. You know, can you try to do better on this? Or as my fiance says, do your best. Exactly, because you're just trying. You're really not going to try it. You're not going to do it. Now, Samuel, he pointed out the sin. He says, you are fool. Imagine if someone calls you a fool. Hey, you're a fool because you're doing, you know, we know what you've done. And it's the truth. So, he pointed out that he was disobedient as well, and that he was out of God's plan. That means he didn't adhere to the commandment the Lord had made. This commandment, therefore, it was prophesied by the prophet. Now, it happens nowadays. We have the Bible where it tells us exactly what we need to do, but do we follow the instructions? Some people call this the book of instructions. But it's more than that. It's the word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to those men that we use. So, I want us to remember also a few things. A patient does come from him. There is a Bible verse that says that God is so patient with us. He does not want anyone to perish. He does not want you to lose your soul. And if you are already a Christian, he doesn't want you to continue the life that you're living. And also, as you have received Jesus Christ into your heart, then you also know that part of that manifestation, the fruit of the Spirit, it's patience. So you have patience. So all of you that have Jesus Christ in your heart, you have patience. But you also have self-control. So in order for you to exercise patience during those trials and tribulations, you have to have self-control. You have to have discipline. And patience, when we exercise that, it pleases God. Because that demonstrates who you are. When I become impatient, I'm not acting as a child of God. When I am impatient, it's more likely acting as the devil. Because the Word of God says, when you continue to sin, that's where you're showing that you're son of the devil, not of the living God. So we have to learn from our mistakes. And God is well pleased with that. And as the Word says in Psalms, he wants you to delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, they have to be according to his will. Because a lot of this, we don't want to please God. We want to please ourselves. We don't want to be patient with our brothers and sisters. We don't want to be patient with our parents. Like, to our parents, we say, we already know what you're trying to say. We already know you're old. You know, I know that I'm in the era right now. It's the technology. I'm advanced. What you did was in the past. I know. But do you really know? Parents don't know it all, but we have what we have from the Lord, and that's what we pass on to you. So, as I like to quote some other scriptures, in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, it says to examine everything. So you retain what is good. Hold on to what is good. But get rid of what is not. Even if it's from your parents or your teachers. All right, so we're going to read this Bible verse. I believe it's very important. We need to remember why we have to come back to the Bible. Because it was left there for that reason. Let's read. And it says in Romans 15, verses 4 through 6. It says, for whatever was written in the past was written for our instruction, so that we may have hope through endurance and through the encouragement from the scriptures. Now, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement allow you to live in harmony with one another, according to the command of Christ Jesus, so that you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ with a united mind and voice. And I want to just go back to what we just talked about. Now, James, I'm going to read 2 through 4 in chapter 1. It says, consider it great joy, my brothers, when you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. But endurance must do its complete work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. So, remember, this patiently is what builds your character. And we can tell a lot about someone based on their character, based on how patient are they. Are they willing, that willingness to wait, the willingness to go that extra mile. So I want to call you, because this is what the Lord wants. He wants you to come to Him and experience His love, experience patience, experience the fruit of the Spirit, experience God. As we have here, revitalized. Yes, how can you be revitalized? How can you have all of this, you know, add greater vitality, greater strength, greater effort, receive a new spiritual clarity and revive? How can you do it? What do you need? If you're not a child of God yet, you may. Today is your day. Today is the day of the Lord. Today you are here. So the Lord is calling you. So what's preventing you? What's stopping you to come to Him? And forget about what others think. We're talking about your eternal salvation. Now, keep in mind that as we read, and feel free, please, I encourage you to go back and read those chapters. You can probably start from chapter 8, 1 Samuel chapter 8 through, we read through, well, we only gave through chapter 13 on using Saul's response. Now, I'm grateful that there was an example left for all of us. Now, who can remember the example of Moses? His instruction was really easy. But did he follow it? No, he didn't. The Lord commanded him. He said, go in and speak among the nation of Israel. Speak to this rock. And what did he do? Because those around us, sometimes we think they make us do things, but really, you have to have self-control. You have to have patience with them too. What did he do? Well, you know, those people were gathering just like they did with Saul. Well, they're abandoning me. You know, I had to do what I had to do. But was that a real excuse? After you know what the Lord has commanded you to do? So, young ladies, just wait on the Lord for that person that's going to come to you. Ask Him for that husband to come to you. Young men, you do the same. You want to offer the same to your future wife. But wait on the Lord. And how about, I like to remember Martha and Maria. Okay. And we can be so preoccupied, even here, and we call it church, but we're the congregation. We're the saints. This is a building. Once we live here, nothing else. The Holy Spirit is in you. And it goes with you wherever you go. So wherever you are, wherever you do, He's there with you. And that goes for all of us. I'm preaching this to myself too. I know He's never going to leave me. His promises are for real. His promises are the truth. He speaks the truth. So what is God telling you right now? Now, how can I be patient? Well, first of all, if you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart, it's going to be very difficult. If you think it's difficult already having Jesus Christ, let me also give you that example. He is the best example that we can ever have. So I want to conclude with one of those verses that I love so much. It's Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. But mainly, consider number 2. So let go on the first verse. Let go whatever is attaching you, not allowing you to move forward. What you have ahead of you, which is Jesus Christ. Setting your eyes on the Lord. So fix your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, not on anyone else that you think so highly of. Because I want to tell you the truth, they will also fail you. But the Lord Jesus Christ will never fail you. So you make sure you set your eyes as I do the same. Fix your eyes on Jesus Christ. Now, the verse says that he endured what was coming. Now, we were never going to be in a place like him. He was going to take on all the sins of the world. Your past sins, your current sins, and your future sins. All taken care of by the blood of Jesus Christ. So if God is calling you today, please, don't let anything stop you from. This is the best decision that you can ever make in your entire life. See, the decision to go places, to have the newest iPhone, to have whatever you think it's going to make you feel happy. It. Because, again, it's not about feelings. It's about the truth. And the truth is Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. And he's the life. So I would like for you to please stand up while we do this last prayer as we finish this message for this morning. And I want to also thank you for your patience. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning because you have been patient with us. And if there's someone here in the audience, Lord, that would like to give their life to you, please let them either raise their hand or come forward, Lord. Let them come. And if you are there, if God is speaking to you, don't allow any to detain you, any to distract you. Come to him. He is the answer. He is the well. He is the living water. And above all, he is love. He loves you so much. He endured the cross for you and me. He's here with you. And he's knocking at your door. And that's the door of your heart. But only you can open that heart. No one else. Let him come to you. And if you are already a believer, let him cleanse you from all sin. That sin that sometimes it's hiding, as in the sin of impatience. Because when we're not patient, we're impatient. And when we're impatient, we're sinning. It's a call to unbelief. But we believe in the God Almighty is here with you. And I ask that for those of you that have already received Jesus, that you may remember this, that you have patience. But it's only going to grow during trials, during afflictions, during those moments at work, at school, with the parents, with the family, even here. But remember to set your eyes on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, who for the joy that was ahead of us, He endured. Do we give Him praise and honor? Look up to Him, not to your teachers, not to your pastors, not to your family. They will fail you because they're imperfect. But Jesus Christ is the perfect one. As John the Baptist said, He is the one that takes away all the sin of the world. He is the Lamb of God. So would you let the Lamb of God into your heart and give Him thanks that He takes away your sin? We ask this in Jesus' name, that He be honored and glorified. And we thank Him for the patience that He's given us. And as you experience patience, remember, you're becoming more like Him. Your character is building to the one, Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen.